Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
He is the research fellow at the Heritage Foundation's Grover M. Herman Center for the Federal Budget. He is our official in-house economist. He's EJ Antoni. Follow him on X at RealEJAntoni. Doctor, how are you? Good to see you.
Rich, good to see you too. Although I was a little concerned. I first walked in.
Yeah.
I thought you were crying. I thought you were like the new I thought you were the new Glenn Beck or something of 1210.
Well, I should be the new Glenn Beck making his money in syndication, but instead I just had, as you know, sunscreen in my eye. But thank you for your concern. I appreciate that. You're not that kind of doctor though, are you?
No, I'm not as bad as Dr. Jill Biden, but maybe not a medical doctor. Somewhere in between there.
Does the law require we say Dr. EJ Antoni every time we say your name, like it does for Dr. Jill Biden?
You know, I just want to say that as a doctor, you know, she should be ashamed of herself for what she did with her husband. You know, I mean, she can see his cognitive decline. She can see that he's turning into a vegetable before all our eyes. And as a doctor, she should know better, don't you think?
I mean, well, you put it that way. How could I disagree with that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
She should know better. Dr. Jill Biden.
That's right.
By the way, I love the Phillies pinstripe you got going on here today. This is great.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Good to have you in studio. It's been a while, so it's fun to catch up. Normally, we do this over the phone. Now, so Trump was with Elon Musk last night, but he's your buddy. He retweeted you.
He did.
Did you get a lot of views after he did that?
Yeah, a few million, actually. So that was a good day. You know,
wow.
That was a good day.
How does one get their post across Elon Musk's radar?
That is a great question, and as soon as I figure that out, I will tell no one, and I will just do it over and over and over again. So as soon as I figure out what it was about that one tweet, yeah.
Now, before we get into the heavy stuff on Social Security and the deficit and the debt, let's talk about Chicago Pizza for a moment, because I understand you have some thoughts on this, as we head to Chicago next week for the Democrat National Convention. Is that true?
I was listening earlier, and as usual, I got really mad at DeSantis, and I basically...
Welcome to the party, pal, by
exactly,
the way.
Exactly, right, right.
Welcome
yeah, it's a long
club.
Line to get
oh,
into that.
Man, I'm telling you. So, the best is when I go, clip 11, and then you just hear nothing but silence.
Mm-hmm. And then I was thinking, is clip 11 actually just silence?
Yeah, that's what it is, dead air. Yeah. Might as well be. And it doesn't say anything,
nope.
So it's just dead air, and then I go, 11! The one after 10, and then nothing happens.
Mm-hmm. I'm usually scrambling to get the clip ready. I don't have time to hit the button on the mic.
The best was today, I queue up a clip. I'm talking about it for like 3 minutes, and then I go, take a listen. And then nothing happens. He goes, oh, I haven't loaded that clip yet. I'm like, well,
all right, that one was my fault.
You had 3 minutes of ramp up to that, and still no audio played.
I'm willing to concede that was my error. I even had it on the show sheet. It wasn't anything we added last minute.
It's like, did you get your Harvard degree in a Cracker Jack box, or was it a Captain Crunch cereal box? That's what I want to know. That's the question that's burning on my mind right now.
Yep.
So what made you mad at DeSantis today out of curiosity, EJ?
Oh, so, you know, he's talking about Chicago pizza the same way all these people talk about, you know, they say trans women are women. It's not real pizza. It's not. I mean, come on, you eat one slice and you're full and 3/4 of it was just bread. Look,
bread.
If I want to eat a loaf of bread, I'll go eat a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
If I want pizza, you know, I'm going to stick here on the East Coast. I'm going to go to a few great places in Jersey, a few here in the Philly area.
Yeah.
You can get a few, you know, some nice places in New York. New York is not a nice place, but there's a few nice pizza places there.
Yeah, although I think you got to really leave the island for the most part. You got to leave Manhattan. If you really want good stuff, go to Brooklyn. Although Patsy's in Harlem is probably still the gold standard.
Fair.
You know,
fair.
But then again, Totano's on Coney Island, probably number one in the country, I think. Anyway, but you're right about Chicago pizza. But then it gets even worse, though, right? Because then not only does he say Chicago pizza, EJ, he doubles down and goes Pizzeria Uno. So he goes chain Chicago pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Not
mm-hmm.
even like a local joint.
Yeah.
Uno.
It's the most famous.
Which I could get on Route 73 in Mount Laurel if I wanted to.
It's the most famous. I assume it's the best.
See?
Yep.
It's like going to Kentucky for fried chicken and finding the first KFC to see.
Yeah.
No, I'm gonna give you some real fried chicken while I'm here.
Yep.
In
exactly.
Kentucky. But this is what I got to deal with every day. So you don't have these problems with the Heritage Foundation. You just have your destruction of the world through Project 2025. But other than that,
Look, I'm really mad if this doesn't get across the finish line. I want to bring back the smoking section on airplanes. You know, I digress. I shouldn't get into it. I'm sorry.
No, I think that's a great idea. And I want to go back to a day in which not only could we have a smoking section on planes, we could put our feet up at the desk like I'm doing now with a cigar and a bourbon while we're at work.
That's right.
That's also in Project 2025. Am I right?
It is. It is, especially for people who drive for a living.
I mean, you got to laugh at all of the hysteria and the fear mongering over this thought paper that involves ideas for the executive branch of government.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of them are pretty good. I haven't read the whole thing, but that's the thing. Nobody has. Right.
Right. Right. I'm shocked at how many people, you know, level all these criticisms about it. And I ask them, oh, wow, where in the book? I mean, it's, you know, several hundred pages.
Yeah.
Where in the book did you find that? Because I would like to, you know, to read that, actually.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe I might even like it. Anyway, the point is, no one can ever answer that question, because no one who levels any of these criticisms at it has ever read the darn thing.
Yeah. And yet the left is using it now as their fear-mongering guidebook. Mm-hmm. Like, remember they used to have the map books you used to get back in the day? If you, like, a AAA map book, if you were driving.
Rand McNally's, right?
Yeah, there you go. I think they still have those at gas stations someplace. Truck stops, I think, usually have them. Where DeSantis trolls for chicks. But I think that that's... What?
Not true.
Yeah, it's not true. Rosaline is that's not listening.
I bet his favorite pizza place is a truck stop, too.
That's his favorite New York style. The one under the heat lamp that just rotates around and around.
Uh-huh.
That's what he loves for that.
Yep.
Where do we want to begin with this? So Joe Biden today, let's play that clip, Matt, from earlier. Joe Biden came out and said, this economy right now is Kamala Harris and Joe Biden together. This is probably the last thing the Kamala Harris campaign wants, Joe Biden saying this, because they're trying to distance themselves from everything around Joe Biden, obviously. They've got it now so that Kamala Harris was never vice president. She one time took a tour of the White House, and they just picked her out randomly from the crowd to run for president. That's basically what they're trying to do. This is what Biden said.
And he responded to criticism from Team Trump about Kamala Harris being more liberal than Biden. Here's his response.
The issues we've worked on together have made great progress economically. It's a good policy. So that's what it's like.
The issues we worked on together. EJ, these issues they worked on together have led to right now prices being up, what, 20%? Is that right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, it's amazing what just a few years can do. You're like, what did this administration inherit? They inherited an economy growing at a $1.5 trillion annualized rate. Inflation was 1.4%. It took them a year and a half to flip both of those. They ran inflation up to over 9%, and they took that incredible economic growth and literally reversed it. We got two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth, something we used to call a recession, but now we just redefine everything, you know, whether it's a recession or what a woman is or, you know, what pizza is, Mr. DeSantis. Anyway.
What's transitory, what's not transitory,
yeah, exactly.
Right?
Well, yeah, first there was no inflation, right? And then inflation was just transitory, so there was nothing to worry about. And then inflation was somehow good for you, and then inflation was Trump's fault, and who knows what it is now. I mean, it's just what absolute nonsense. And I don't understand how on earth Kamala can possibly run away from this, when not only was she the biggest cheerleader for all the spending out of this administration, but as vice president, and therefore president of the Senate, she cast the tie-breaking votes on two of the three biggest spending bills of Biden's administration. How on earth can you say her hands are clean in this?
She cast the tie-breaking vote on the Inflation Reduction Act, which mm-hmm. obviously did not reduce inflation.
Mm-hmm.
And was a complete misnomer in the title. It's like Chicago pizza.
That's
not
right.
Pizza, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That was not the Inflation Reduction Act. And then the second vote was?
Was on ARPA.
Which is?
The American Rescue Plan Act. So she literally added trillions of dollars to the debt and deficit that would not have happened had she not cast that tie-breaking vote. In fact, actually, it's kind of interesting, given how divided the Senate is right now, she has broken more ties as vice president than literally any other vice president in history.
Hmm.
And that includes plenty of vice presidents who have seen far more legislation go through the Senate than she has. So this has been a tightly divided Senate. And again, she has cast more tie-breaking votes than anybody. So you can't tell me her hands are clean in this mess. They're not. She directly contributed to the inflationary mess we have today.
And then the part about, then this is from Trump's interview yesterday with Elon Musk on X. I want to play this clip for you and get your reaction to it. When he talks about Kamala Harris stealing his no tax on tips. By the way, do you like copycat Kamala or copying, no G, so just copying with an apostrophe, Copying Kamala or copycat Kamala? Which one do you like better?
Let's go with copying Kamala, just because it's a little shorter.
There you go. See, I'm with you on that. Mm-hmm. Because other people, I had copycat originally and people stole that. Mm-hmm. Like people that do podcasts, I'm not naming names, Ben Shapiro, but copying is better. Copying Kamala.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It rolls off the tongue.
It rolls off the tongue. It makes it easy for everybody to understand. So here's Trump ripping her last night. We'll get your reaction to that, Dr. EJ Antoni. Cut 12.
Get a speech and there will be no tax on tips. I said that months ago. And by the way, they had just the opposite. You know, they had not only tax on tips, but they hired 88,000 IRS agents, and many of them were assigned to go get waitresses and caddies and all of this on tips. They have a policy. They had a policy that they were really going to go after you and were really harassing people horribly. And then all of a sudden, for politics, she says, you know, she comes out with what I said, which I think is terrible. And I think it's also hitting them very hard. These people are fake.
Yeah, and the 87,000 IRS agents were supposed to go after tax cheat billionaires, EJ, not working class people, right? But we know that's a bunch of BS.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so there was some evidence presented in the Senate. Oh gosh, I forget how long ago this was, when they were first, you know, debating this piece of legislation, and it was pointed out, look, if you really want to audit literally all of the billionaires in the country, you don't even need to add 1,000 IRS agents, let alone 87,000. So who the heck are these people going to go after? Well, sure enough, it's the middle class. In fact, there's actually a new portal on the IRS website where they get businesses, you know, whether it's a restaurant or a hotel, whatever the case may be, with service workers, they get them to integrate their point of sale system, their cash registers, with the IRS so that the IRS can keep track of every time a card gets swiped and see how much tip you added on to your receipt. In other words, they're trying to monitor as much as they can how much people are getting tipped. So yeah, they're cracking down on tipped workers. And now these same clowns are telling us that, oh, no, just because we did that already, we're going to do exactly the opposite if you just reelect us. Just one more time, please. Give me one more chance.
Yeah. Yeah, I always, by the way, as a general rule, I tip in cash as much as I possibly can. And I overtip because I know that the government's going to take a piece of that. But to your point, they figured that out, so they're in on that, so that they can make sure they get their VIG. The government always has to wet its beak.
Exactly.
Right? It's because the government's a mafia. It truly is, and it's not. It damn sure is going to make sure that whatever money you're getting, they're getting a piece of that money.
Exactly. Right.
There's no free lunches anymore with this government. That's for damn sure. Trump also talked about the cost of energy yesterday. This is from his Twitter Spaces event with Elon Musk. Cut number 8. See, this
we
is
have
what
to
happens.
Bring energy
and then,
prices
you see
down.
That delay? Like it's only a couple seconds, but it's enough to infuriate me and make people change the station.
That's right. How many people just turned off?
Yeah, 12, like 10,000 people just thought the show went off the air and just changed the station.
Yep.
That wasn't even a full second.
It doesn't. But why was it even? You know where I was going. Just hit play.
Like, I'm not a mind reader. We have 35 cuts loaded into Audition right now. We have so much audio that I actually can't load another clip in.
His mind right now is on Chicago pizza.
That's right.
He's thinking what toppings is he going to get on it? Hawaiian.
Yep.
He's going to do a Hawaiian Chicago pizza.
Yep.
And I'm going to get up and walk out of the restaurant. Is what I'm going to do.
As you should. He seems like he strikes me as the kind of guy DeSantis does. Where if you went out to like a really nice restaurant with him and you ordered a Manhattan, he'd order a Coke. And then he'd be all upset because the waitress says, sorry, we only have Pepsi products. That's the kind of guy he strikes me as.
Your retention of the show is outstanding. I have to give you that. I mean, that must be why you're a doctor. Doctor. All right, you ready? Cut 8.
We have to bring energy prices down. Energy started it. The price of gasoline. Now, your cars don't require too much gasoline, so, you know, you have a good, and you do make a great product, I have to say. I have to be honest with you. That doesn't mean everybody should have an electric car, but these are minor details. But your product is incredible. But the gasoline, Elon, is the cost of energy. Not only gasoline, it's the cost of heating your house and cooling your house. That has to come down. It's gone up 100%, 150%, and 200%. That has to come down. When that comes down, and we're going to drill, baby, drill. You know, they stopped drilling, and then they went back to drilling because they went back to the Trump policy. But if they won, the day after they get into office, this country will go out of business because they're going to go to an energy policy that's not sustainable. Wind and different things. you're not going to have anything.
Yeah.
And I know you're a big fan of the AI. And I have to say that AI, and this is shocking to me, but AI requires twice the energy that the country already produces for everything. So you're going to have to build, we're going to have to build a lot of energy if our country will be competitive with China, because that's our primary competitor for this on the AI. You're going to need a lot of electricity.
Well, I mean, so let's talk about that. The cost of energy has to come down. I mean, how much of what we're dealing with as the American consumer is because of energy prices?
It's a great question. I think people really underestimate just how much energy affects the price of, I mean, everything. It affects everything we do. It affects everything we buy. Every time you go to a store and you grab something off a shelf, it got there on a truck, right? And even if you're not buying a product, even if you're just purchasing a service, you're purchasing a service from someone who uses energy 24/7, and they are taking all of their costs and they're passing it on to you, the customer. So no matter what you're buying, you're actually buying energy in some way, shape, or form. The other thing that a lot of people don't realize is most of our chemicals today, unlike the rest of the world where they use oil, we don't. We use natural gas because it's so insanely cheap for us to get it out of the ground. I mean, even if you buy like synthetic engine oil for your car, most of the time, the oil that's in there was not made from crude. It actually was made in a lab from natural gas. And so, I mean, this goes into everything. They use it to make fertilizer. They use it to make the polyester fibers in the clothing that Matt DeSantis wears every day.
You know, they use polyester fan.
Yeah, they use it. They use it to make the plastics, you know, in this cell phone case that I'm holding up here, this microphone that I'm speaking into. I mean, everything. It is everywhere. And so if you can reduce the price of so ubiquitous an input as natural gas, what happens? You're going to drop prices throughout the economy. This actually was a key reason why, if you go back to the Obama years, why inflation was not as bad as a lot of people had predicted it was going to be, given how much he was overspending. It was because we had the fracking boom. We had horizontal drilling. And so that flooded the market with cheap energy, and that brought down prices everywhere, which offset a lot of the increases that were coming, again, from that government spending.
And then the point, too, which I think is really gets lost on a lot of people, too, is that at the very same time that we're dealing with energy prices, and we think about it just from the sense of, you know, putting gas in your car, and you made the point about all the different petroleum products and everything else. I mean, the efforts by the left to mandate things like, for example, electric vehicles, which is, you know, and Elon Musk doesn't want to mandate. Trump doesn't want to mandate. But we know that we just lost, what, 2,500 jobs in Michigan with that one auto plant that that laid off all these people because they're getting rid of a big truck and they're converting over to EVs because you need less auto workers to work on those cars. I guess the real point here, EJ, is that these policies affect, at the end of the day, workers just as much as they affect consumers, right?
Oh, absolutely. And what's really scary is that so many of the policies that the radical left is pushing today are shipping jobs overseas, like EVs, for example. Most of those components that when Ford or GM is cranking out these EVs, most of the components are actually being imported. And then the final assembly is just being done here in the United States. So you're not actually building the motor here like you might build the engine here. Instead, you're just shipping all the stuff over from China. And to avoid taxes and tariffs, China is basically just using Mexico as a go-between now, where they're sending the stuff to Mexico first. Mexico slaps a Made in Mexico sticker on it, and then they ship it up here to the United States. So, I mean, we are right in front of our eyes, watching our jobs get shipped overseas. We're watching our enemies and adversaries circumvent international law, whether that's, you know, tariffs and trade or otherwise, and we're doing nothing about it.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. More with Dr. E.J. Antoni. Dr. E.J. Antoni, like Dr. Evil. Thank you. He didn't spend 7 years in evil medical school to be called Mr. Thank you very much. But I want to tell you the big story of the day brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Venaria of VenariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. And DeSantis, just so you know, we're going to play when we get back, we're going to play cut number two. So I'm giving you now 4 minutes to cue up cut two.
Thank you.
Is that enough ramp up time?
I mean, I can't guarantee anything, but it seems like it should work.
All right. When we get back, my idiot governor, his royal ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable, says that Kamala Harris believes in capitalism. We'll get Dr. E.J. Antoni's response to that straight ahead.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Dr. E.J. Antoni's in studio with me from the Heritage Foundation. $1 billion. It does sound like something Dr. Evil would say, but our government at work right there, huh?
You know, a billion here, a billion there. Pretty soon we're talking real money, you know?
What are you going to do, right? I mean, what are you going to do? Yeah. How does this happen?
Gross incompetence. Mm. I mean, and that's actually what you should expect from government. And the reason for that is because you have people spending someone else's money on yet another third party. So think of it this way. If you're going to go out and spend your own money, you care about what you're buying. You care about how much you're spending. You care about the quality of what you're getting. You care about how much you're paying for it. If you're buying something for someone else, especially if it's not someone you really care about, you know, you're going to care how much you spend, but you're really not going to pay that much attention necessarily to the quality of what you're getting. Well, when you have a government bureaucrat spending your money on yet another person, they don't care how much they're spending and they don't care about the quality. So there's no incentive here to reduce costs. In fact, in a lot of ways, the only incentive is to increase costs because the more you spend, the bigger budget you can get next year, which means the more you can get paid in terms of salaries, et cetera. So basically, we have this, as you're saying, this massive backlog. Cases take 700 days now to resolve. So almost 2 years.
Wow.
I mean, it's just absolutely absurd. And then when you add in improper payments, not just from Social Security, but then throw in Medicare and Medicaid, where it's actually much bigger for those, you're over $100 billion.
And have you've been following all the waste and the fraud and the abuse in Minnesota under Tim Walz with the COVID payments and all the other mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. what a scam that was going on with the free lunch program. And I mean, all kinds of money went missing with that. People literally stole that money from. But that's another great example. I mean, he's a socialist. You know, one person's neighborliness is another person's socialism or whatever he said. But they lost a ton of money in Minnesota under those programs.
Right. Absolutely. And the only when you confront guys like him about, look, we have these massive budget shortfalls. What should we do? They never once want to actually look at the budget and cut out the waste, fraud and abuse. Their only solution is always more taxes, mm-hmm. more taxes, more. I mean, he wants to impose a surcharge on cap gains and dividends. They want to tax unrealized gains. I mean, this is literally insane. Imagine you're saving for retirement. And every year your portfolio gets an increase, right? You have some gains there. They're not realized, meaning they're stuck in the account. You don't actually get to spend them. And you have to turn around and sell off some of your portfolio in order to pay the taxes on the gains you had that year. I mean, it's just absolutely insane. And of course, they have zero plans for what you do if you have a loss 1 year. It's not as if you get money back from the government.
No. And this point about the American dream, which I'll get to that clip next. But first, I want to play this. So my idiot governor, the tyrant, his royal rugness, we want to be respectful, because mm-hmm. he has a rug. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but it's literally a piece of carpet that they took from the state house. So they remodeled it. And they took it from the old governor's office and they stapled it to his head. So Phil Murphy has a literal rug on his head. And so that's why to properly give him the respect he deserves, his royal rugness, King Philip the Unaccountable. Now, normally, if he was giving a decree to the peasants, I would play trumpets. But he's not giving any decrees here. He's just lying about Kamala Harris. So I wanted to get your reaction to what he said regarding her ideas on the economy. Cut two.
At this point, can Kamala Harris say anything to make people feel differently about their economy? Because this is a big problem for the Harris campaign.
Yeah, I think she can is the answer. And even though Trump may still have a slight lead in those polls, she's gaining ground on the economy as well. I think the Financial Times had her slightly ahead, and for good reason. She stands as this Tim for middle class out, bottom up, believing in capitalism, period, full stop, but also believing that government can help at the edges, whether it's Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security. It can cushion what can sometimes be the brutal impacts of capitalism. Kamala Harris and Tim Walz believe that with all of their hearts. They've proven it, and they will continue to prove it. And I think with the benefit of time over the next several months, I think you're going to see them prosecute a very compelling case on the economy. That's not to say that they will ignore the hurt out there, because the hurt is real. Inflation has been real. It's coming down. It's going in the right direction.
Is it coming down?
But there's also the reality that stuff still costs more than people feel like it should. And so I think the message they will deliver is the economy is better in our hands. It's a pair of safe hands. The one thing you don't want if you're at the kitchen table or at the boardroom table is uncertainty or volatility. The other guys will bring you plenty of that. The Harris-Walz ticket will bring you a safe pair of hands, stability, exactly what America's kitchen
table needs. I don't want his hands anywhere near me or her hands anywhere near my kitchen table. That's number one, because they'll take away my cheeseburger. All right, so that's number one, EJ and Tony. But no, really, I mean, this idea that she's a capitalist, this idea that they're going to have economic stability, while he's also justifying inflation and saying the prices are coming down, what the hell is this guy talking about? What world is Governor Murphy living in right now?
His own. I think his royal rugness is living proof that only in America can you be elected governor when your IQ begins with a decimal point. I mean, literally nothing that man said was true. That was absolutely phenomenal that he could do that with a straight face. I mean, this woman is a literal communist. Just the other day, she talked about how she doesn't believe in equality in terms of opportunity, but in terms of outcomes.
Yeah, equity.
Yeah, exactly. In other words, it doesn't matter if you all had a fair chance. We're going to force equal outcomes upon you, because you know that's always worked so well in the past before, when you have hundreds of millions of people killed in places like Russia or China.
Right, yeah. You know, I mean, that's
minor detail, a speed bump on the road to equality. I mean, she literally co-sponsored a bill when she was in the Senate to give Medicare for All, which effectively would have taken away seniors' private health insurance. Don't give me this garbage about how she's a capitalist.
And now she's walking that back. So she's walking back the Medicare for All thing. They're now saying she's not going to do it anymore. It's like they're walking away the fracking ban, walking back on that, the tax on tips. I mean, all of it. It's such a lie. But she raised her hand in that 2020 debate and said, Medicare for All, I'm all in.
Yeah, she raised her hand at the debate, too, and said, I'm a socialist. I mean, here's the beautiful thing, Rich, about this election. For the first time in modern American history, you have two candidates where we don't even have to listen to what they say. We can see what they've done. They both have a record as executives in office. Okay, Trump had his term. Kamala has had her term, or half of it, whatever you want to call it. I don't know how much she had, was doing with the vegetable at the helm. But whatever the case, they both have a record. So under one, the purchasing power of a family's income went down. Under the other, it went up. Under one, homes were more affordable. Today, they're not. Home ownership affordability is down 30%. I mean, a quarter of renters in this country, America, the greatest country in the world, a quarter of our renters had to skip meals over the last year in order to stay current on their rent, in order to pay their bills on time. This is third world country kind of crap. What the hell is going on? This is the result of 3.5 years of utterly failed public policy. This is you paying through the hidden tax of inflation for trillions upon trillions of dollars of runaway, reckless, profligate government spending.
What do you make of their argument that it's the evil grocery stores that are all colluding to raise prices because they're all just greedy and they're all in on it together?
Right.
And what I always say to that is, wouldn't one of them, if I'm Danny Wegman and all the other grocery stores are on the secret phone call and they're saying we're going to raise prices and they're all greedy and... if I'm Danny Wegman, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to cut prices because everybody's going to come to my stores. I mean, but that's how I think as a capitalist. These people don't. Will people see through this nonsense? Because I know she's going to say the same thing on Friday. You know, this big grocery is evil. Big soda, big Frito-Lay, whatever. They're out to get you and they're all in on it together. You think people will see through that?
I hope so. You know, otherwise, we have to come up with one heck of an explanation as to why every business in the entire country magically all became greedy at once in January of 2021. I would love to hear. Can someone call in and give me that explanation as to how the heck that happened? I mean, it's insane. And actually, I'm so glad you brought this up, because just this morning we got the latest wholesale inflation data. So these are the prices that businesses are paying. So, when you go to the grocery store and you grab the gallon of milk off the shelf, what did the grocery store have to pay for that gallon of milk? That's what these wholesale prices
track. They had to pay for it?
Oh, my gosh. Can you believe this?
No, that's not true. It's just there.
DeSantis, can we get a fact check on this?
Wait, it's just there. What are you talking about? They had to pay
for it.
This
is like, yeah, people discovering this is like when AOC discovered vegetables come out of the ground or what a garbage disposal was.
The garbage disposal one is still my favorite.
Yeah.
That might be one of the classics. Or Kamala spelling artificial intelligence. You know, it's two letters.
That's
AI.
Right. That's right. And Russia, yeah. Russia's a big country. And Ukraine is a smaller country. Thank you for that world-class geography lesson.
If I drive behind Wegmans, where I shop in Cherry Hill or Mount Laurel, depending on, there's a Wegmans and a Costco. And if you cut through the back, mm-hmm. you see all these big delivery doors and trucks come and mm-hmm. they drive up there. I always assume they were just taking stuff out. You're saying that they're bringing stuff in to the store?
Well, okay, so this is what my sources are telling me, all right? Now let me say I have the best sources, okay? Believe me. That's what my people tell me.
They've never had sources like this before?
No one's ever seen sources like this, believe me.
Pretty good, by the way. Pretty good.
Thank you. You're just saying that because it's true, okay? So essentially, what the latest round of data shows us yet again is the fact that businesses are paying prices just as high as we're paying. In other words, track how much their prices have gone up, the businesses, and track how much our prices have gone up mm-hmm. as consumers. It's the same. It's about 20%. So where on earth is the gouging? Where on earth is the corporate greed? I mean, you know, people get all tied up, all tied up in knots when they hear about these corporations making record profits. It's because it's not adjusted for inflation. Corporations are making record profits on average in the same way that American families are bringing home record income today. In a nominal sense, that's true. But in a real sense, meaning adjusted for inflation, it's not. Just like you can buy less today as a family, the corporation can buy less with their profits.
Dr. E.J. Antoni's with me in studio. It's great to have him for the Heritage Foundation. We're going to continue this conversation. I want to ask you about the impact of the federal debt, the deficit, and if that matters, and if people should care about it, and how we got here. Because Trump last night told Elon Musk he's worried that the American dream is dead. So I'm going to give Matt DeSantis a heads up to cue that up for us, which is cut number 7, so that we can get it without any delay whatsoever. So we'll take a very quick break. We'll come right back. And our fourth and final hour, don't go away.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
Dr. E.J. Antoni's with me from the Heritage Foundation. He's in studio. It's great hanging out with him for the hour. I appreciate your time today. Thank you very much.
No, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I know you're going to go see your folks soon, so that's great. You're a family man. A lot of people out there are struggling. Trump said to Elon Musk yesterday, and I'm not going to actually play the clip because we just don't have a lot of time left, but that the American dream is for a lot of people, it's dead, you know, and, mm-hmm. and it may not come mm-hmm. back. And that was his real point. And I loved how much he and Elon Musk talked about regulation. And there was a point that Musk made last night when he said, you know, if we don't change things in terms of where we're headed here with all these government regulations and the way that they are able to just slow down the permitting process and just drive business to a halt, if we don't get back to innovation mm-hmm. as a country, we're never going to recover. I thought he was spot on with that.
Yeah, absolutely. So people, this is something I frankly don't think the Trump administration gets enough credit for, was the regulatory reform that they undertook. So regulatory costs aren't actually included in any of our inflation metrics. So when we talk about like the Consumer Price Index, CPI, mm-hmm. we'll get the latest number on that tomorrow morning. That doesn't include any regulatory costs. That's why for about 25 years, according to the CPI, the price of a new car didn't change for a quarter of a century. Why? Because wow. all of the costs were essentially, all of the cost increases were regulatory costs, and the index purposely subtracts that out. So under Trump, with all the regulatory reform they did, it saved the average household $2,000 per year, every year. And that added up quite a bit, you know, eight grand by the time they were done. Conversely, what have we seen under Biden-Harris? $5,000 in additional costs each year for each household.
It's just, it's remarkable. And, you know, to the point earlier about how she's a Marxist, she's a socialist. Mm-hmm. This is a clip. She said this to the United Auto Workers. The guy who's the head of that union is definitely a Marxist. That Sean Fain guy. That guy's insane. But and he had to admit, you know, a great majority of his members are going to vote for Trump, regardless of his endorsement. But I mean, he's a commie. But anyway, this is what Kamala Harris said.
We believe in the collective. We're not falling for these folks who are trying to divide us, trying to separate us, trying to pull us apart. That's not where the strength lies.
First of all, what's with this fake Southern accent? That's number one. All right. She's from California. And number two, We believe in the collective. That's literally out of the Marxist handbook. I mean, Karl Marx, like, that's like the page one, like the first sentence. We believe in the collective.
Yeah, well, I mean, what do we expect from someone whose father was a literal avowed Marxist? And she is, too, if you just listen to the things she advocates for and the policies that she proposes. Yeah, she's a Marxist. She's a communist. Mm-hmm. Do we really want someone like that running our country? Communism doesn't exactly have the greatest track record in the world. I'm just putting that out there. I know that's a, you know, controversial take.
Controversial. Yeah. Hot take, EJ.
Yeah,
Antoni.
Exactly.
Hot
exactly.
Take.
I'm going to go on the side of killing hundreds of millions of people in the name of your ideology is not a good idea. Hot take. I know, but
it's bold. Well, she did say she wants to reduce the population.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
great way to do it. Yeah.
That's the other lie, too, right? The big population lie that there's too many of us and you know, it's bad for the earth.
Remember Population Bomb, right? That whole book. I mean, Malthusianism was proven wrong like 300 years ago, and yet it keeps coming back.
Well, it's funny, too, because so many of their lefty, wacko climate policies wind up enriching the very people that are threats to America. But I think they deep down inside like it. Like, I think they're rooting for Venezuela. I think they like Maduro. I think they actually agree with him. And they're fine to enrich the guy and fine to let him steal the election because deep down inside, it's like a symbiotic relationship with people like him.
Yeah, it's for these people, it's all about power, right? Watch what they do, not what they say. Going back to what we were talking about earlier with Kamala Harris and not taxing tips. Yeah, that's fine. She's promising not to do it. What has she actually done? Exactly the opposite. They're cracking down on it. So look at what they do with climate change. Why did Barack Obama, who claims that sea levels are rising so fast and you know everyone on the coast is going to drown, why does he buy oceanfront property? Explain that one to me. Oh, maybe it's because none of these people actually believe all of the nonsense they spout. They just do it as a way to try to maintain their own power.
Dr. EJ Antoni, thanks for coming in studio with me, buddy. It's great to hang with you. Please follow him on social media at Real EJ Antoni. You're the best, pal. I appreciate it very much. And thank you for listening to the show tonight. We appreciate it. We're back with you tomorrow, 3 to 7 p.m. And go check out the podcast of my interview with Dr. Ben Carson from earlier today. He was outstanding as well. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Thank you for listening.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.